Today is July 15, 2026. This is your FinTech briefing for Macro Observer. In the next 8 minutes, we'll cover JP Morgan Chase's record $21 billion quarter, corporate bankruptcy filings hitting their highest level since 2010, Fed Governor Kevin Warsh's testimony that declaring inflation victory is premature, and a SpaceX bond issuance trading below par that's drawing uncomfortable comparisons to 2007 and 2008. Start with a number that should stop you, $49 billion. That's the combined quarterly profit posted by JP Morgan Chase, Goldman Sachs, Citigroup, Bank of America, and Wells Fargo in the second quarter of 2026. JP Morgan alone booked a record $21 billion, up 41% year over year. Goldman Sachs was up 78%, Citigroup up 45%, Bank of America up 27%, Wells Fargo up 17%. On the surface, this looks like a banking system in rude health. It isn't quite that simple. The broader fintech pattern here is a bifurcation between fee income and credit quality. According to Danielle DiMartino Booth's analysis with David Lynn, this earnings strength is being driven almost entirely by investment banking fees, M&A origination, divestiture advisory, leveraged lending fees, not by healthy consumer or commercial credit books. Underneath that fee cushion, S&P Global data shows 372 corporate bankruptcy filings in the first half of 2026, the highest count since 2010. LendingTree reports personal bankruptcy filings up 50% year over year. So the balance sheets look strong, but the engine generating that strength is fundamentally different from the one generating the credit stress sitting underneath it. Looking at the regulatory landscape, the Federal Reserve is holding a line that's getting harder to justify on inflation data alone. Core CPI held steady at 2.6% year over year, and the Fed's so-called supercore measure posted its steepest six-year decline at negative 0.1%. 42 Macro's Darius Dale adds more texture here. The month-over-month core services contribution to headline CPI fell to just 2 basis points, the lowest since September 2020, and well below the pre-COVID trend of 14 basis points. Yet Fed Governor Kevin Warsh testified that declaring victory over inflation would be premature. CME FedWatch data currently prices zero probability of a rate cut by December 2026. Dale frames the Fed's posture under Chair Warsh as what he calls a play-action pass, hawkish rhetoric now to build credibility, ahead of planned structural easing sometime in 2027 to 2028. His firm's market-implied neutral rate model actually suggests 1 to 2 additional hikes are needed to reach neutral, versus money markets pricing in just over one hike over the next 12 months. Compare that to the guidance floating around late last year, which pointed toward roughly 50 additional basis points of easing by the end of 2025. That dovish pivot has essentially evaporated as 2026 has unfolded. Layer on continued Fed balance sheet runoff of roughly $60 billion a year, and you have a persistent liquidity tightening force operating independent of the rate path entirely. Meanwhile, the labor market is sending signals that don't square with a soft landing narrative. Labor force participation fell to 61.5%, the lowest since 1976. 720,000 workers exited the labor force in a single month, and more than 27% of the unemployed have now been jobless for 6 months or longer, a scarring pattern historically associated with recessions, not soft landings. Separate commentary citing 42 Macro references a 900,000 job downward payroll revision and the first outright monthly job loss since 2020. Now to the piece that deserves the most scrutiny, AI infrastructure debt concentration. Commentary from Felix Friends describes AI-related financing as touching $1 in $5 lent in America right now, with 6 companies, Amazon, Meta, Nvidia, Oracle, Alphabet, and SpaceX, driving an outsized share of corporate borrowing. Technology now represents roughly 1/3 of total U.S. stock market value, a materially larger share than during the 2007 to 2008 cycle. SpaceX's roughly $25 billion bond issuance, which followed a valuation event exceeding $1 trillion, is already trading about 10% below issuance. The same commentary reports a Goldman Sachs internal trading desk note using the word carnage, language the source says echoes internal 2007 commentary, and cites Financial Times reporting that JP Morgan and Morgan Stanley were quietly restructuring AI-related debt exposure roughly 48 hours before Goldman published a public research report projecting continued AI demand growth. These are reported but unverified signals, and they warrant independent confirmation before informing any allocation decision. But the circular financing structures are worth naming plainly. Microsoft's reported $13 billion investment in OpenAI, which routes spend back into Microsoft's own cloud infrastructure, and Google's and Amazon's investments in Anthropic, which reportedly purchases Google Cloud and AWS services in return. That's the kind of vendor financing loop that makes true exposure hard to audit through diversified bond funds and pension allocations. One concrete regulatory cliff edge deserves flagging for anyone modeling consumer credit. 7 million of the 42 million federal student loan borrowers who stopped payments since March 2020 face credit impairment beginning October 1, 2026, once accounts cross the 90-day past due threshold under the recent policy change. The Dallas Fed's Banking Conditions Survey confirms banks are tightening lending standards even as they report strong quarterly profits, a classic late-cycle divergence between reported earnings and forward credit posture. FinTech Thesis Update: what changed today is the visibility gap between reported bank earnings and underlying credit reality. Fee income is doing real work to mask cracks in consumer and commercial credit, and the AI infrastructure financing boom is concentrating risk in ways that are genuinely difficult to see from the outside, tucked inside vendor loops and wholesale funding channels rather than direct bank underwriting. The Fed isn't blinking. Sovereign debt issuance is crowding out private credit formation, and the one bright spot, commercial real estate office distress, finally clearing its steep discounts, is a reminder that this cycle is still working through its earlier innings, with multifamily, retail, and lodging distress likely still ahead. Watching the rails. Until tomorrow. That's your core brief for today. Thanks for listening. We'll be back tomorrow with more.